Hey, if you guys got your Bibles, go ahead, turn the book of Romans. We're going to go to 8th chapter real quick today. Romans is, if you've never read the Bible, or if you do read the Bible and you've never read the book of Romans, if you want a book to kick your butt, go read the book of Romans. That thing's nuts, man. But anyway, we're going to go to Romans 8th chapter. Let's go ahead and pray, go before the Lord today, and then we're going to jump into the Word because, hey, we're a church, and that's what we're going to do. So let's pray. So, Father God, we thank you today. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for your Bible, Lord. God, we thank you that it's so much more than a book, God, that it's that you know, you don't care about a piece of paper with ink on it. God, you care about this book getting on the inside of us. Father, I pray today that as we open up the Bible, whether it's on our phone, whether it's in a book on our lap, God, whether it's in our heart, Father, whether it's on the screen, God, I pray that it would not stay there, but Lord, it would get into our heart and it would affect every decision we make in our life. Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to us, that you would teach us, and you would show us your ways. God, that you would show us what your heart really wants, that our hearts would become like yours, that God, by the time we leave this place, we'd become more like Jesus. God, that we would love like you, that we would see like you, that we treat others like you do, and Father, that we would truly be changed on the inside and that it would affect the outside of our life. So Father, we just pray these things in Jesus' name. God, we say today we need you now more than ever before. So Father, help us to understand this word, that we don't have to be confused, that we don't have to be bored, that we don't have to ignore it, but God, that it become the centerpiece of our life and all that we say, do, and think. So, Father, we lay these things down before you. And, Father, God, as we pray these things, we don't just pray them for ourselves, but, God, we pray them for each and every youth ministry in the Inland Empire around the world. God, regardless of their denomination, Father, if they're talking about you, Jesus, God, we ask that you bless them just as you blessed us, if not more so. So, Father, God, we recognize that they're on our team just as we're on theirs, doing the same thing, making Jesus known to a lost and dying world. So, Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody in the house said, amen. Cool. Let's get into this today. Today we're in a series. Well, not really in a series. I'm going to talk to you guys today about a series, a sermon. And if you're taking notes, if you want to put a title to this, I guess you would call it "Ouch," because today we're talking about owies, ouchies. Talking about hurts, pain, suffering, hardships, difficulties. I know it's not a very pleasant thing to talk about, but the truth of the matter is what people go through. I mean, has anybody in this place ever had a broken heart before? Has anybody ever been in a relationship and you broke up with them before? And you weren't the one doing the breaking up? Oh, man. Let me tell you. It hurts. I'm sorry. I'm going someplace with this. I mean, if you're in this place, if you've never been hurt, I would like to tell you right now that you are a robot. You may not know this, but you are a robot. You're not real. You're like a Pinocchio. You're not a real boy yet, okay? Look, if you are alive, I don't care if you're 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 80 years old, you don't have to be alive for very long before you get hurt. I mean, if you've ever lost a pet, you've ever lost a loved one. I know it's really sad. If you've ever lost a loved one, if you've ever been made fun of, if you've ever not been happy with yourself, if you've ever been bullied, picked on, if you've ever had somebody get in your face about your faith in Jesus, I mean, let me tell you, you could be doing everything right, and it can seem like everything can go wrong. Can I get an amen? Uh-huh. Come on. Don't make me preach now. It doesn't take long to figure out that life hurts. I mean, it's one of the guarantees of life. Even out of Jesus' own mouth, one of the guarantees of life is you're going to be hurt. Something's going to come along, and it's going to hurt you. I mean, sometimes we even resort to this, and sometimes we even resort to the tactic of hurting ourselves at times to cope with the pain of life. And let's just be real, it really sucks. So if God is a God who loves us, and if God is a God who understands us, and if God is a God who really is who he says he is, then God has something to say about these things. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not, but if you look cover to cover in the Bible, anything you go through, God talks about. I mean, you may not find it specifically detailed, oriented on how to cope with the fact that you are not the best in your group of friends at modern warfare. I don't know how necessarily if you'll find modern warfare anywhere in the Bible, but you'll find the heart of the issue in there. Because any problem, any hurt, any pain, any joy, any issue you go through, you'll find answers and commentary on it in the Bible. And with something as big as hurt and pain and suffering, hardships, you better believe that God has a lot to say about this subject. You know, I've said it before not too long ago, and I'm going to say it again, but, you know, the Bible would attest to this as well. but there's something that changed my life. But when I heard this in life is 90% attitude, it's 10% circumstance. You know, it's funny because a lot of times we let this 10% of our life, the circumstance, dictate how we view others, how we view ourselves. And a lot of times that's what happens is in your life, that 10%, it can seem like the eight or nine of that 10% is pain and a hurt. Maybe if you're going through family problems, maybe your grades do stink, you know, we let that percentage of our life dictate the rest of it. But the truth of the matter is we need to deal with that attitude that God's given us. You know, I saw this news story just this week and I couldn't believe it, but do you have the picture of that girl? Go ahead, put her up there if you're real quick. I don't know. Have you guys seen this story? You think she's pretty? Okay, not a weird question. Who in this room thinks she's pretty? Okay. Not a weird question. Not a beautiful. Okay. Now, this is interesting. This girl's name is Cassandra. She's a model. She's a model. I saw this news story. And she does like these blogs. She has a couple things on YouTube and stuff like that. She talks about makeup and stuff like that. I don't know. But this girl has a huge problem. She's a really difficult problem. And I don't. And if you haven't read the news story, you probably wouldn't guess what it is. But her problem for her teenage years dictated her life. It was a hardship. It was suffering. It was an issue. And you know what? She's gone to the doctors about it. She's gotten medications for it, and her problem has not gone away. And she still has it to this day. You know, if you were to go on Yahoo or YouTube or whatever and look up her name, you'd find out you could find out what it is because you know her story just kind of blown up in the news. I can tell you guys probably don't watch the news too much, but that's okay. That's what I'm here for, right? She was ready to give up, but instead she still has a problem, but instead she had an attitude that says, "Look, I can't let this problem dictate my life. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to overcome it." And now today, she just took a big stand to help other people who suffer with this problem. And she posted this video on YouTube, and there's been over 2 million hits. And people from all around the country, I think even the world, are talking and saying, "Thank you so much for coming out about this. Thank you so much for helping me." I want to show you a couple minutes, just a quick video, like it's 2 minutes long, where she talks about her problem. So do you guys want to see what it is? Y'all just nosy, that's why. No. So Adam, go ahead and show it real quick.
Now to talk more about her struggle with acne and maybe share a few of her makeup tips is Cassandra Bankson. It is, you are not 19.
I am.
Such
I just
poise.
Thank you.
Yeah. You said you have been going through this, dealing with acne, really for as long as you can remember.
I got my first pimple in the third grade, and then progressively at 11 and 12, it just kept getting worse, and I had to find ways to deal with it.
Since you said third grade?
Third grade was my first pimple.
Yeah. And you, when you posted this online, Cassandra, it took you a while before you would even look at it yourself?
Yes. Well, it took me a month to post. I filmed it in November, mm-hmm. and I posted it in December. And then I thought I was going to get the same hate that I got at school for my skin. I thought if it helped one person, one girl, or even one guy who was in the same condition, it would be mm-hmm. worth it. But I didn't even look at YouTube for 4 months.
Really? Because so you were concerned and you said the hate.
I didn't want to see the hate.
I'm so sorry. And others, they talk about how it's tough enough to be a teen. And then
yes.
to have to go through that, it can really affect you. But the response has been extremely positive.
Oh, my goodness. It's been overwhelming. You know, it really is an eye-opener. And I never knew that for men, for women, even for adults, it's such an epidemic. And yes, it's cosmetic, but it goes deeper than that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that's a little bit of a misconception.
I'm glad you said that, because you thankfully have learned that its beauty comes from within.
Oh, my goodness. My boyfriend taught me that. Honestly,
Good.
I knew that there was a difference. I acknowledged the difference between inner beauty and cosmetic beauty. But when it actually came down to drawing the line, I did not know where that line stood.
Mm.
And he was the one who really, you know, sat with me there without my makeup and explained to me what it was he loved about me. And when I realized what that was and what it felt like, I knew that every girl, every man, every person had to feel the same way. And if there was something I could do, then I would.
I can see your eyes. It's just you're exuding that. And you do want to teach others.
Now, it's kind of funny. Who was expecting the acne thing? Did you see it? Okay, so you know what's up. Okay, so you think Pastor Richard, are you sure you talking? You thought like she was gonna die or something like that, huh? You think that she's like has some debilitating, but I mean, and it's crazy because I watched her video and stuff like that online, and it's just crazy because she has like really bad acne, you know, and in her YouTube video, you know, she has all over her face and stuff like that, you know. I could talk about this because I got some bumps myself too, you know what I'm saying? But she said that the video that she showed was actually a mild breakout at the time. She's actually gotten a lot worse. And it's crazy that she suffers from this bad acne. None of the medication they take away, and it's all over her, you know, And yet she's still a model. I mean, and all y'all said she was pretty too. So, you know, and it's a trip, but you know, there's people out there who have, you know, who have these type of issues, self-esteem issues, and they literally, they kill themselves over these things. They commit suicide over these issues. But she's refused to let this stop her, even to the point to where the one thing that nobody would ever guess she'd be able to do is she's a supermodel or she's a model, you know? And in our lives, there's so many issues and reasons and hardships that come our way that we refuse to overcome. Or there's so many issues that come into our life that can be even much larger than what can seem like a bad case of acne in our lives. And we use them as excuses as I can't because of where I was born. Because my family is on government assistance. We say things like, I can't because I'm not smart enough. Or because my family. Or because I was hurt. Or I was abused. And all of a sudden or because this or that. You know, we find these excuses and we say, my life is too difficult. I can't overcome it. And the truth of the matter is, if this lady, I don't even know if she's a Christian or not, but if she can find the strength within herself and her boyfriend or whatever to overcome this huge problem with her face and become a model, and how much more can we as the body of Christ, as the church of the living God, how much more can I, with the Holy Spirit, the one who rose Jesus Christ from the dead, how much more can I do in my life with the problems and the issues and the fears in my life? How much more can I do if she can do something like that? Something as silly as having, I mean, and I don't want to minimize it because she got bad acne, okay? And I don't say that as a knock or anything like that, but with her condition, to overcome it in that way and to post something like that on the internet and have her hope in her hardship affect 2 million. I mean, I've never gotten 2 million hits on anything that I've posted on the internet, you know? And I don't think any of you have either, okay? And she can have an effect on her world that way. What about me? What about my Jesus? What can I do to inspire hope within other people because of the hardship in my life? And the crazy thing is too is a lot of times we ask God, say, God, help me out, God, solve my problems. But you know, she's overcoming this not because it's cured, but because she's still pushing on in spite of her hardship. You see, a lot of times we pray and we say, God, please fix my problems. God, if we only had more money. God, if only I was smarter, taller, shorter, skinnier, stronger, beefier. If only I could sing. God, if only I could get this happening in my life. And you know what? We wait for God to solve our problems when God says, no, you have this problem because this problem is the platform I have given you to change other people's lives. Somebody heard that. I mean, I don't know. Somebody did. Okay. Sometimes the victory comes not in God taking your problem away, but in you succeeding in spite of your problem. You see, that girl is not strong because she cured her acne. That girl is strong because she is a model even though she has acne. You know what I'm saying? Because any pretty girl can be a model. All right, have you ever seen Top Model? There's a lot of ugly girls out there who are models. Because God invented a thing called Photoshop, okay? I'm sorry. I should not be saying these things. I'm a pastor. But anyway, they're not ugly because everybody's beautiful in Jesus, okay? I'm sorry. The fleshly Pastor Richard came out. No. I'm not going there. Anyway, this girl, you know, the reason she should not be became the reason she is. And see, a lot of times God allows things to happen in our lives that become the strength and the thing that causes us to change other people's lives. And we need to stop bucking against it and start running to God and giving it to God so God can turn the difficulty in our life into the thing that can change somebody else's life. Now, I know that doesn't make much sense, and I don't want anybody to stop praying, because if you have a sickness or an illness, or if you have family problems, if you have difficulties understanding or reading or whatever the case may be, if your family's in a tight spot, you need to keep on praying for God to overcome that, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that all of a sudden you have, you know, this problem and it'll never go away. I'm not saying that. But I am saying this, is if you do have a problem and if you are suffering or you have hardship in your life, you need to stop being a victim. And I, Pastor Richard, need to stop being a victim and say, God, okay, this is what I got right now. And you know what? I'm going to believe you and I'm going to press on in spite of this until you either A, heal me or change this, or until B, you make me strong enough to live with this. That makes sense? Like I said, I'm not telling anybody to stop praying for healing. I'm not saying God can't, won't, or is it God's will for us to hurt, but I am saying this. Is that I don't know why things happen all the time, but I do know this. No matter what happens, God is stronger than it. I feel like I'm preaching to a cautious crowd here. I know what I'm preaching is not very popular. I know it's not very easy. But what I am preaching to you is hope. So as we move along here, as you get a little more bold in what's being preached here, feel free to, you know, say what you need to say, all right? Because you may be a little cautious in listening, but I'm going to be a bit bold in my preaching because I know what I'm saying is the word of God. Are you with me here? If you're not, we'll get there, okay? I'll come around. I'm going to work this either way. Okay, here's the thing is this. As you and I, we both, let me read this verse here before I say this, because this is pretty good. In Romans 8, I told you to go to Romans 8, the 18th chapter. We're going to go through 18, 19, and 20, and then a couple more. See, the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, writes this. He says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." In us, in us, in us. See, Paul says, I have suffering in my life, but this suffering isn't even comparable to what God's doing in my life. Because in my suffering, God's bringing glory, goodness, greatness. In my weakness, God's showing strength. That's what he's saying right here. Now work with me here. It says this. It says, "For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility." Not willingly. Wasn't God's desire that things be broke off in this world? That things suck? That there be disasters and hurt and pain and disease? It wasn't willing. God doesn't desire those things. But because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will be delivered from this bondage, from this corruption, into what? The glorious liberty, the children of God. Now what's this all mean, Pastor Richard? Here's what I'm saying is this. Is God cares more about your spiritual health than your physical comfort. Always has, always will. If it takes a little discomfort in your life for God to get a point across to us, he's going to use discomfort. He's going to allow discomfort in our life. Now, I'm not saying God's going to hurt you or anything like that, but I'm saying God's main care is not for us to get whatever we want on a Christmas list. It's not for us to get our wish list. Because, see, God's never has been and never will be a genie. You know, your name is not Aladdin, and God does not sound like Robin Williams, okay? That's not the way it works, all right? You know, God is not, you know, this is not a magic. Oh, mighty Jesus, I want to be rich. You know, that's not the way it works. That's not why God made Bibles leather, because they feel good, or whatever yours is made of, you know? I don't know. Plastic and glass? I don't know. God's not a genie. Because God's main care and concern, he's a spiritual father. He's a father. He wants your best. He doesn't want you to get whatever you want because he knows that'll ruin us sometimes. But God wants our best. God cares more about our spiritual health than our physical comfort. And you see, Paul says this. Paul writes this. He says, look, guys, he says, the sufferings, the difficulties I've been in, and I don't know about you, but Paul had a pretty tough life. Said it a million times. I'll say it a million more times. The guy's been shipwrecked, beaten, bit by poisonous snakes. He died once, and then somebody prayed for him, and, well, he wasn't dead. You know, he's been hit with sticks, had rocks thrown at his head. He's been kicked out of cities. He had every city he goes into, a riot starts out because they want to kill him. Been thrown in prison time after time after time after time after time again. And this guy says, look, these things I'm going through, not even comparable to the good things God has in store for me. The sufferings of this present world are not even worthy to be compared. You see, God, if we begin to look at things this way, and say, you know what, God, I'll take a little bit of discomfort right now, maybe even a lot of bit of discomfort in my life right now, if it's going to get me to the place I need to be in my life, if it's going to allow me to change people's lives, if it's going to allow me to know you better. Because the funny thing is, it seems like when everybody, you know, all it takes is a near-death experience to turn an atheist into someone who believes in God, okay? You know, that's all it takes, okay? That's all it takes. To where even atheist goes, oh my God! It's like, are you sure? Because you sound pretty spiritual right now, okay? You know, that's all it takes. I mean, they don't say, oh my nothing, you know? I never heard an atheist say, oh my nothing, okay? That is, they don't do that. Right? They get real spiritual real quick. See, so it's something funny because sometimes the hardest times draw us the closest to God. Hardest times can draw us closer to God. But see, God doesn't want us to be hurt and in pain and suffering. God wants us to overcome these things, never to be defeated. But see, overcoming requires a couple things of us. Overcoming requires me to know that the difficulty I'm going through right now is the beginning of something bigger. The difficulty that you're in, or your family, your friends are in, is just the beginning of something greater in store. You see, God never wastes a pain. God never wastes a hurt. God will cause it to be something greater. And you know, a lot of times is you have to put out an effort before you get a reward. I mean, that's the way it works. That's the way it works. I mean, if you guys have a job, you have to gruel and work and sweat making sandwiches in Subway, being a sandwich artist. Oh man, you want what? Roast beef and ham? Oh, before they give you your $4.30, you know, an hour. I mean, it's, you know, you have to put forth something before you receive a reward oftentimes. I remember my old youth pastor told me this. He said you could either pay now and play later, or you could play now and pay later. That's the way it goes. You you pay now as a young person, going through things, studying, getting your college degree. Why? So you can make bank later. So you can play later. You put forth the effort now in your faith with God, in your walk with God. You pray. You believe God as a young person when you have all this time, when you have all this energy. So when you become a mother or a father, when you have a job, when people are looking to you for answers, you can pray and watch things happen. So you can see God move miracles through your hands. Look, if you're on a team, that's why you bust your butt doing two-a-days, burpees. That's why you wear those plastic bags while you're running if you're on the wrestling team. That's why you do practice in the wee hours of the morning, in the late hours of night. That's why you miss all these things in life that you could be doing, all the naps you could be taking. So when game time comes, you can rock that field. Amen. You pay now so you can play later, so you can have victory later. You know, suffering oftentimes gets us to the place where we can be strong. You know, in James 1, 2 through 5, go ahead and just put it up there real quick. It says this. James 1, 2 through 5, Bible says this. Bam! It says, my brother, count it all joy. That's crazy talk when you fall into various trials. Crazy talk. Next one. It says, knowing the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. And what does patience produce? Patience has its perfect work that you may be what? Perfect and complete, lacking what? Nothing. So what you want, you get because you've paid the price of trusting God in your hardship. So all of a sudden, your hardship becomes the vehicle that gets you the answers that you want. I don't know if I'm preaching over your head, but this is deep and this is good and this is heavy and this is hard, but it's good. I mean, this is Wheaties, okay? This is spiritual Wheaties right now. You're getting your spiritual fiber to clean you out, all right, right now. It's good for you. It's good. Shoot, Pastor Richard, it's good for you. I know. Okay, I should be taking notes. Oh, wait, I already did. So these are the things. Now, interesting, you know, back in Romans 8, if you're still there, in Romans 8, what does it say in 8:18? It says, for kind of the sufferings of present time are not worthy compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It says that the present sufferings are not compared. Why? Because something better is coming. Verse 22 says that all of creation groans. It labors. It's in pain. It's having a hard time. Why? Because it has birth pains. I don't know if you've ever watched those TLC Discovery Health Channel shows where the women are giving birth, but it is an ugly, painful sight. Anybody who says, I cried because it's like a miracle's happening, they're crazy because it is a painful, crazy sight. If anybody in this room has ever given birth, you know it kind of hurts. Amen. But after that baby comes out and you hear, wee, wee, wee. I don't know if that's a pig or a baby. I don't know. It could be either or maybe both, okay? So, oh, you have a baby pig. But that little baby, all of a sudden, it's like, oh. I don't know, it could be the epidural talking, but it's like, oh, it's so wonderful, this baby of mine. The pain happens so you can have something greater. Maybe the difficulty you're going through is the birthing pain of something greater that God has in your life. But you don't go through that birthing pain, you're gonna have a baby in you, and it'll just get bigger and bigger and bigger until you pop. Okay? And that's gross. Hey, think about it. That would be gross. It's a birthing pain. Suffering in your life, the difficulty, the challenge in your life, you pray through it, but you take God by the hand. You say, God, you're going to ride me. You're going to ride with me through this one. We're going to go through this. We're going to grit our teeth. And God, you're going to rescue me from it, or you're going to bring me through it. And on the end of this tunnel is going to be something amazing that every ounce of pain makes it worth it. Every great man and woman of God endured great hardships. You see, overcoming requires me what? To know it's the beginning of something bigger. Overcoming a hardship, a difficulty, or suffering in your life means that it will require you to reveal the level of your relationship with God. It will make you reveal the level of your relationship with God. Hard times either draw you closer to God or they drive you farther from God. And depending on what kind of Christian you are, depends on what direction it will take you. Verse 19 says this in 8:19, Romans 8:19, it says, the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for what? The revealing of the sons of God. You see, suffering will reveal who the real sons of God are and who the fakers are. See, suffering will either reveal the real sons of God or the ones who are just playing the game. Because when the dices are down and heads start to roll, people make decisions real quick who they're loyal to. You know what it's like. A fight's about to go down. You roll down with your homies. Come on, we're rolling deep today. Somebody brings out the big dude, pull out a big old rock or a knife. You find out who your real friends are real quick. Sunk! Like somebody turn the lights on and a house full of roaches. Wah! They're all gone. You know who your real friends are in a pinch. You want to know who your real friends are? Asking for $10. No, I ain't got it. You'll find out real quick who will loan you money, who your real friends are. Same thing with Jesus. Not in loaning money. That's not what I'm saying. But when it comes down to the suffering, you find out really, you know, it says earth. All of creation is saying, look, it's really difficult right now. The world is crazy. People are dying. People are in pain. Things go crazy. People are hurting. It says this suffering is going to show me who the real one is, who the real people are. And the real Son of God will last through it. It's kind of funny. In John 13:37, if you guys have your Bibles, you could turn there. Keep your finger in Romans 8. We're going to go back. But it says, you know, this is the Last Supper. It's the end. And Peter says to Jesus, Lord, why can't I follow you now? Why can I not follow you now? He says, Jesus, I will lay down my life for your sake. Peter's like saying, Jesus, I'm serious about this. I'll go to the very end. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes back and says, Peter, look. He says, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly. Jesus says, right in his face, he says, look, he says, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. And if you look in the Bible, what happened? When Jesus was getting sucker punched in the stomach, when they were locking him up in chains, when they were dragging him to the cross, what did Peter do? He denied him three times. Because Peter didn't want to get crucified too. Peter didn't want to beat. Peter didn't want to get shamed. Peter didn't want to get his beard ripped out. Peter didn't want to get whipped on his back. Peter didn't want to be seen around Jesus. When the chips were down, what did he do? All the disciples turned tail. And not one of them was there for Jesus. Peter specifically denied him three times. Only person at the cross of his disciples was John. Imagine that. All of his friends punked out on him. The chips were down. And the suffering pushed him away. But see, Peter didn't stay that way. Because years later, what happened is there was a persecution coming through the church. And, you know, history tells us this, is that when the Emperor Nero in Rome was killing Christians, he found Peter, threw Peter in prison, and Peter refused to deny Jesus again. And they ended up crucifying Peter. Peter said this. He said, you know, you're going to crucify me? He said, you know, you do this thing the real way. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way Jesus was. He said, I want you to crucify me upside down. Because I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way Jesus was. So they crucified Peter upside down, head down, an upside down cross. You see, suffering showed that Peter changed his life. He was real with Jesus. You see, if you're going through a hard time, that's how you know how strong of a Christian you are. You know, sometimes, you know, I get so blessed when I see people getting healed of diseases and things like that. But you know what? Sometimes it's the person in the wheelchair who has not yet been healed that has greater faith than the person who has already been healed out of their wheelchair. I don't know, that's kind of a tough statement to make, but I know those people, and they're amazing people, and they can pray, and they have strong faith. Last one right here is overcoming requires me to. Like I said, I know this is kind of like, it's some chewy stuff here, but it's good. Overcoming require you to hang on to the hope of Jesus. Romans 8:20, last verse right here, it says this. It says, for creation was subjected to futility, garbage, suffering, hardship, difficulty, not willingly, but because of who? Him who subjected it in hope. Because creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. You know, God says this. He says, I know things are tough right now, but you got to hang on. Because things will, you know, today will not be like tomorrow, and tomorrow will not be like the next day, and the next day will not be like the day after. Things will get better. Today does not have to be the end of it. You know, if you have Jesus Christ living on the inside of your life, I don't care how bad today is, it's a good day. Even the day that Peter was crucified upside down, that was not a bad day. I mean, tell me you get a bad, I mean, I understand having a bad hair day, you know, you break your phone, crack it into a million pieces, that's a bad day, right? You know, you go to pour yourself a nice bowl of Cheerios, and then you go to pour the milk, and it's just like this much milk. Oh, man, you ruined it. You can't eat it, it's dry, but you can't put it back because it's already wet. I know, it's disgusting. And then you don't want to put water in it, right? Because that's just nasty. All right, who puts water in their Cheerios? Dang, you guys are much more hardcore than I, because I can't. Soda? You're nasty. Oh, gross. Oh, Coca-Cola and Cheerios. Oh, you just ruined my day. That's like eating pickles and Pepsi. Just don't do it. Don't do it. That's like brushing your teeth and eating an orange. Just don't do it. Don't go there. Y'all nasty. A burrito with no beans? That's not a burrito. That's just a tortilla. I don't care what you put in it. No. That is not even, you don't even call that a burrito. That's just a mistake. That's sad. But even were you to have one of those, it's not a bad day. Because you got Jesus Christ in your life. Even Peter being crucified upside down is not a bad day. Why? Because he knows when his heart stops beating and his lungs have no more air inside of him, they know that when they pull his dead, cold body off those two pieces of wood, his body may be empty, but his spirit is face to face with Jesus Christ. You may go through the worst day in your life. You may be abused, beaten, forgotten. You may be neglected. You may be cast down. You may be ignored. But let me tell you this. If you have Jesus Christ living on the inside of your life, the worst day in your life with Jesus is better than the best day of anybody else's life without Jesus. I'm going to tell you this. If you have hope on the inside of you, you need to cling to it. Because today is just another opportunity for a better time to come. Y'all still cautious. Are you guys not sure about this? I mean, am I, I don't know, do I have to convince you guys? No, you're all right. I understand. You're cool. It's okay. Just podcast it again. And then you're like, oh, I remember that was good. That was, you clap when you listen on your iPod in the middle of class. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's good, Pastor Richard. Wrap it up. Wind it down. Shut it down. Here's what the Bible says. Romans 8. It says, open here, Romans 8:31. End of the chapter. Wraps up. This is a tight chapter. You want to read a tight chapter? Read the tight chapter. This is good. It says, Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? Matter of fact, I'm going to read a couple verses here. He says, let's go ahead. And yeah, go to 31. I'm going to finish this whole chapter up right here because it's crazy. And if you want to clap anytime in this, you're welcome to. It says, what then shall we say to these things? Everything I'm talking about, suffering, hardship, difficult times. What then shall we say to these things? What's the answer? The answer says this. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but what delivered him up all for us, that shall he not with it? Oh, I'm messing this one up. Somebody give me an NLT in here. Sorry, that's a pastor's joke. Let me try this again, because I see, and you guys were doing so good at clapping too. Man, I'm telling you, Pastor Rich had to mess up his grammar. I'm telling you, need a new Bible. Too many notes in it. It says this: He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen. Thank you. That is right. That would be the appropriate place to clap. I wasn't even expecting that one. You made me lose my spot. It says this. Let me just go to 35. That's good. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? Heck no. Peril? Sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, verse 37 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through what? Who? Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Whew. Now I need some water. Thank you. Man, if you didn't understand anything I just said, then go back and read it, because it's really good, I know. Pastor Rich is not a very good reader. But basically, he said, God the bomb. Okay, that's what it said. It's a God the bomb. Okay, that's what it said. Oh, man. Anyway, here's the thing. You got to hang on to the hope. Look, there's an old cliche that says, it gets darkest before the dawn. You guys heard that one before? Yeah, that's a cliche. They should make a shirt with a unicorn on that one. Okay. Thank you for that one. You can clap for the unicorn, all right? Beautiful. But the truth of the matter is this, is cliche, no cliche. You know what? It's true. I love the psalm. There's a psalm, and I forget which one it is. I'm sorry. But there's this crazy psalm. You could find it, because there's none other like this. But basically, every other line, literally, it's like a 40-verse psalm. Every other line says, his mercy endures forever. It's the most repetitive Bible chapter in the entire world, but it's repetitive for a reason, because his mercy endures forever. Why? Because there's hope. Why? Because no matter what difficulty you are, you could be hunted down like an animal, like King David, but he was still able to say, God's mercy endures forever, because I have hope that today sucks, but tomorrow will be better. And if tomorrow still bites, then next day will be better, because he knew there's always hope. Hey, we need to stop. We just need to stop living our life and letting circumstance dictate who we are and how we feel. We need to start letting who God is, who God created us to be, dictate who we are and how we feel. See, that's hope. Is when you get your eyes off of this world, and you get your eyes on Jesus Christ. You can do that. You'll be set. Look, this girl, this 19-year-old girl, Cassandra, doesn't know Jesus, I assume. Able to get her eyes off of her face to what it could be. You better believe we as the church ought to be able to get our eyes off of circumstance and on who Jesus is and who he says we could be. If you guys got anything out of Jesus today, give him praise.
Yeah.
Whoo!